All right, let's go to Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8. You know, if you have a big enough need, you'll do anything it takes to get that need met. And there's a record in Luke chapter 8 where I like to say this lady stole her healing. You're going to see it here in Luke chapter 8. Sometimes when life is good, it's easy for us to get lulled into a life of mediocrity, to accept just whatever is out there. But, you know, we just have been learning in the class, most of us, and the rest of you know it, that Jesus said he came to give life and give it how?
More
abundantly. So mediocrity is not good enough for a believer. For a believer, we should expect all of God's abundance. In Luke chapter 8, it's an awesome record. You know, a day in the life of Jesus Christ, how every day was just amazing. The ones that are written about in the Bible are just incredible. And here's just another typical day. We're going to start in verse 41, chapter 8 and verse 41. Yes. Jesus is on his way. He just healed somebody who had an incurable disease. Other people would have said that the guy had mental problems. He most certainly did have mental problems. But more specifically, those mental problems were due to a spiritual problem. Jesus Christ took care of the spiritual problem, and the guy was immediately in his right mind. I think sometimes our expectation is a little bit low. We can take our expectation out of the basement, right? And bring it at least into the living room, you know, where we can expect that God's going to do his thing, just like he shows us in his word. Well, in verse 41, behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. So here was a religious leader. You know, Jesus wasn't so popular with the religious leaders because, as many of us have read recently, they wanted to kill him. They were looking any way they possibly could to deride him. They wanted him out of their lives because Jesus Christ challenged their way of life, which was not based upon God's word. But here's a guy who had a need, and he knew there was somebody who could take care of that need, and so he came to Jesus Christ. It says he fell down, we're still in verse 41, at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay, what?
Dying.
He had a daughter who was 12, and she was dying. Some of you have kids. You know, if your child was dying, what wouldn't you do for your child? You know? I mean, honestly, you'd give your own life for your child. If you don't have kids, you don't understand that so well. You do, you realize it. You would give your life for your child. And here's this guy, his daughter was dying. She's only 12. And so he came to Jesus and asked for help. And it says, but he went, the people thronged him. You know, here Jesus was in this big group of people. Everywhere he went now, as he went, and as his deliverance that he gave to people got more apparent, people wanted that, and they followed him. They followed him. So here he is, and there's people all over the place. Let's go to verse 43. So he's on his way to Jairus' house to help this guy with his dying daughter, okay? And then something happens. Jesus gets interrupted. Verse 43. It says, no, not 43. 43, sorry. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. An issue of blood means this woman was bleeding. The best we understand this, it was like she had a period that never ended. Just kept bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. Poor woman. It says, which had spent all her living on physicians upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. So here's this woman. It doesn't say how much money she had, but whatever she had, she spent all that she had to try to get taken this issue that she had taken care of. Again, you have a need bad enough. You're going to do everything you can to take care of that need. The best she knew was she went to the doctors. But guess what? They couldn't fix her. They couldn't fix her. She only got worse. And so here she is. She sees Jesus coming along and she sees an opportunity. It says, verse 44, she came behind him and she touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stopped, was stanched. This lady got immediately healed. Now just think of it. Here's Jesus in a big crowd. I was going to do this, but I won't do it to you today. I was going to have us all be in a big crowd moving together and see what it's like. Here's this lady that somehow wormed her way in to the crowd and touched Jesus's garment. You know, that's a woman who has a need. That's a woman who wanted deliverance. And she got in there and she touched the hem of his garment. And what happened? This lady got healed. She stole it from him. She didn't ask him. She didn't say, could you come to my house? I have a problem. She just went in there and she got it. I like this lady. I like that. She got healed. Now just think of it though. She spent years. She had this thing for 12 years, it said, right? So there was a time that she didn't have this. For 12 years, because it doesn't say she's 12 years old or, you know, whatever. However that works in life and all that, I didn't figure it all out. But here it is, she got her need met. She tried everything she could. You think she would have given up, but she saw the opportunity to get the healing that she needed. And that healing was by the way of Jesus Christ. You know, I think sometimes we get lulled into mediocrity. We have the Word of God right here available to us, and sometimes we just don't take the extra effort it takes to drive ourselves to get that Word of God to handle our need. Or you have believers right around you, and for some reason you're embarrassed or something that you don't ask for somebody to minister healing to you or to even just pray for you. What's up with that? You have a need bad enough, you're going to go for it. Well, this lady did. She got healed. And Jesus, in verse 45, he said, who touched me? Okay, so this kind of freaked everybody out. It says, when all denied, so Jesus asked, who touched me? So make believe that I'll be Jesus for a minute, okay? You know, somebody has to be Jesus, right? I'll be Jesus for a minute, right? And here we are. We're all in this big crowd. And we're all walking together. You're all touching each other. You're all touching me, you know? And Jesus said, who touched me? So he's looking around. Did you touch me? Did you touch me? Did you touch me? Everybody, it says, they all denied, right? We didn't touch you. We didn't touch you. We didn't touch you. And then, of course, the Peter and those wise apostles, there with him said, Master, you know, you got to take it easy here. Everybody's touching you, by the way, and you're asking who touched me? Like, Jesus, lay off. Everybody's touching you, right? But they didn't realize what Jesus was saying. In verse 46, and Jesus said, somebody touched me. And they're all going, oh, here we go again. Here's a Jesus thing. But then it says, what next? I perceive that the word virtue is the word for power. It's the word dunamis. We learned about that in the class. Dunamis is that potential power, right? He says, I perceive that dunamis, power, is gone out of me. He knew it. So it wasn't just all these people touching him. Jesus didn't say it was okay. She just came and took it. And then he realized that power had gone out of him. What an amazing record. Isn't this amazing? It's really amazing. Look at verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him She declared unto him before all the people. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. This woman, when she realized, you know, she wanted to get her healing and just get out of there. I understand that. You know, it's probably kind of embarrassing. And if you read about the culture then, blood was a big, big deal to these people. You know, being unclean and nobody want to be with you. I mean, it's just a whole thing. And here she was, but she got healed. She probably still had blood stains on her. But here she was, and she got healed. And she said in front of everybody, look, I'm the one, and I was healed. You know, I think also sometimes we get deliverance from God, and we're blessed, but we keep it to ourselves. The hell's wrong with that? Let's speak it out. God takes care of our needs. Let's get it out there. I got healed today. Hallelujah. Hoop it up. Because we got healed. It's a great God that we have. Well, she said she was healed. Verse 48. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. How awesome is that? She stole healing from Jesus. And he said, you're believing. Makes you whole, made you whole. Go on home, go in peace. Go wash your dress. Verse 49, meanwhile, where was he headed?
Jairus' house.
He was going to, because what was happening at Jairus' house? His daughter was dying. Can you just see Jairus through all of this? They're moving along. Here they are going to his house. Then this frickin' lady comes up and she steals healing from Jesus and stops him in his tracks. And he's saying, who touched me? And all of this happens. And what could be happening in Jairus' mind?
Get out.
Jesus, come on! We're on our way. My daughter's dying. Let's go, let's go. Right? Well, interesting. It says, verse 50. verse 47 we're in. No, we're in verse 50. I'm totally lost. But when Jesus heard it, he answered, said, fear not. Wait.
49.
Thank you. 49. Somebody read it. 49.
He yet spake.
Yep.
There cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter's dead. Trouble not the master.
Trouble not the master. You know. Now, what could be going through Jairus' mind? First, Jesus stops. I don't know if he would have made it to his house if he didn't stop, but here the daughter's dead. So these guys come from his house and say, dude, don't bother Jesus anymore. Sorry, it's too late. She's dead. Do you realize how his heart could have sunk? Mm-hmm. And maybe it did. Any one of us, it would have, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. He was human. But look at what Jesus does. Even in the face of death, in the face of very death, look at what Jesus says. He says in verse 46, while he yet spake to them, cometh one of the ruler's synagogue, saying, the daughter's dead. Verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered and said, yeah, I'm sorry, it's over. You know, have a nice day. No, what does Jesus Christ say?
Fear not,
believe only. Fear not, believe only. Somebody defined fear. It's actually not a definition of fear, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Years ago, I heard somebody say fear meant false evidence appearing real. You ever hear that? False evidence appearing real. In other words, fear is based upon the senses, right? Things of the senses. And it looks like it's happening. It looks like it's real. Jesus said to them, fear not. But do what?
Believe.
Well, there must be something really very special about believing. Just like he said to that lady. He said, your believing made you whole. Go in peace. Well, so he said, don't fear. Even though this girl is dead. Verse 51, he came into the house. It says, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And verse 52, this is a pretty typical thing in the culture. It says, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. Again, everybody's going, did Jesus not get the memo? This lady, this girl is dead. She's dead. But here comes Jesus, and in a typical house, especially like a ruler of a synagogue or someone like that, people would come into the house, and when somebody died, people would show up at your house to cry with you. In fact, some richer people would pay people to come to their house and cry with you.
The mourners.
You know, they're called the mourners. And they would come in, and you'd all come in, and everybody would be crying together and mourning. Really wonderful time. But that's what was happening at Jairus' house. And really, it is a terrible, terrible situation. I mean, she was a 12-year-old girl. Just think of the heart of this guy. This is real life. Just like real life that we live in our lives. The real things that happen to us. If we just still think that these Bible verses are nice little fairy tales or good little stories to encourage our kids to a better life, let's get over that. It's true. The words are true. They are spirit and they are life, like Jesus Christ said. If they are, then there's great power there in our lives, just like in these real situations that we're reading about. Well, he said there, she's not dead, but she sleeps, verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn. They knew she was dead. Jesus, you are just so out of it. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. They laughed him to scorn. So what did he do? He said, get out. Everybody out. Sometimes that helps in a situation. And sometimes we should be bold enough also in our lives to realize that there's influences around us that are not helping us with our situation. Well, get out. Tell them to get out. We want the best thing around us so that we can believe God for God's help, for God's deliverance. And if you're too embarrassed to tell somebody, shut up, that's not what the Word of God says, then you're not really wanting that deliverance. If you really want it, like that lady that stole her healing from Jesus, like this situation here, you got to do what it takes. And he realized that the fear and all of that, the people laughing him to scorn, they obviously didn't believe that Jesus had the power to heal this girl. Right? So what did he do? Out. Get out. We got to be strong enough in our own minds. A few weeks ago, Ryan taught at the Wednesday Fellowship about putting the word in your mind. You know, it's not just nice sounding things that, you know, encourage people and make good posters with eagles and sunrises and stuff, you know, and things they put in offices to inspire people to sell more of their product. No, this is the words of life. So we have to take the time to fight in our own minds to get God's word there so we get the deliverance and for others. So he got rid of him in verse 54. And he took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit, here's the word spirit, and it's used in this sense for her life, for her soul life, right? We just learned about body, soul, and spirit. Well, her spirit wasn't dead. We don't even know if this girl had spirit, but it says her spirit, meaning her soul life. It says, and her spirit, her soul life, came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded her to have some meat, and her parents were what?
Astonished.
Her parents were astonished, and then he charged them, don't tell anybody, because of course of the big crowds and stuff. Jesus still had work to do. She got her deliverance, this dead girl. What was the crux of the matter? Jesus said to the man, fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. The word of God has promise after promise after promise for us. Well, how bad do I really want it? Am I willing to make my mind think what the word says instead of what my senses tell me? If I am, and if God's word is true, then man, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. if it's just nice words and all of that, then, you know, we're just wasting our time. Like in the first session of the class where Dr. Earl said, if he lied to us, we should just chuck the whole thing, throw it all away, if he lied to us. But if he didn't lie to us, if it's the truth, let's take the time for us to get this stuff so we can have deliverance in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. Another day in the life of Jesus. Jesus was entering Capernaum. Capernaum was on the Sea of Galilee, so he's up north of Jerusalem here, right on the north part of the Sea of Galilee. And there came unto him a centurion. Anybody know what a centurion is?
Someone in charge of 100 men.
Overseer of military.
Yes, someone in charge of 100 men who's a Roman military leader, you know. We might call him a captain or a, I don't know, I mix up all the different militaries. Some have, well, never mind. He was a centurion, okay? Here he was. He was in the Roman army. Does it say he was a Judean?
No.
No. It would be pretty weird if he were. I mean, for the most part, he would have been a Roman person, you know, somebody of the Roman army. And it says in verse 6, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy. And you read the word palsy in the Bible, it's the word in Greek that we get paralytic, to be paralyzed. So his servant was at home paralyzed, and it says grievously tormented. Grievously tormented. The word tormented sometimes is also used as the word tortured. So this person, his servant, was in a lot of pain, was at home and paralyzed. What a terrible situation. You're there, you can't move, and you're in tremendous pain. And here he had this concern for his servant. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. I'll come and heal your servant. Wasn't that good news? Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest even come under my roof. I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house, Jesus. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Wow. A lot of people want, you know, the whole razzmatazz. Remember Naaman?
Yeah.
You know, he said, I thought the prophet would raise his hands and strike his hands over the place and the leper would be delivered. Remember that? Some people like all that. This guy said, Lord, you know, I don't even want you to have to come into my house. I'm not worthy to have you in my house. He goes, just speak the word. Just speak the word and my servant's going to be healed. That's unbelieving, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Well, then it says, verse 9, for I'm a man, it should say I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He says, look, I'm a man of authority. I'm a leader of the military. I say jump, and the guy jumps. I say go shoot that guy, and the guy goes over there and shoots him, right? He says, realizing that Jesus also was a man of authority. But what was the thing over which Jesus had authority?
Sickness.
Sickness of a person who was a paralyzed person. Something for which, again, there was absolutely no cure for this. No cure. Just like that lady, there was no known cure for her sickness. She tried it. Here's this person who's paralyzed and there's no known cure. And this guy just says, speak the word only. Because Jesus, just like I have authority over people, you have authority over sickness, he said to him. Jesus heard this. You don't read this very often in the Bible. He marveled. Jesus marveled. It takes something to get Jesus riled up, you know, marveling. The word marveled here, it means marveled or, you know, to be surprised or amazed, but it's used in a very positive sense, with admiration. In other words, you know, he saw it and he went, wow, this is awesome. What verse are we in?
10.
Thank you. Verse 10. He marveled and said to them that followed, dudes, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Jesus went to Israel, right? Mm-hmm. His service was to Israel. And here he is up there in Capernaum, and here's this Roman soldier dude, not even of Israel. And Jesus said, I haven't seen this even among the people who are God's people, as they say. Wow. So that kind of got Jesus a little excited. Verse 11, and I say to you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he gives them a little prophecy. And then verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way. Go thy way as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And unfortunately, the servant wasn't healed.
No.
That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? But that was a possibility. If God's word wasn't as true as it is, if Jesus didn't have the power that he did, that'd be a possibility. You and I are tempted sometimes to think that too. It's possible that this thing isn't going to come to pass. It's time for us to make the big claim, the big fat claim. If God's word says it's true, then baby, it's true. And life and death and everything else can hang on it. Because if God's word is true, it's true. Whether my senses tell me, whether my doctor tells me, my neighbors, my boss, the government, whoever it is, you know, my own stupid mind, if it's God's word, it's true. And we can make the big fat claim. If it says it, then let's say what the word says. And just like this guy, he says, because you believed, you got healed. Because you believed, your servant was healed. That's what we got too, this same word of God. So it says his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. That means immediately. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Jesus lived in the miraculous, didn't he? All these places Jesus went, all these crazy things happened. And he healed people, he delivered people, he helped people. But what about us? With Christ in us. With Christ in us. You know, we've got something to tell the world. Let's make the big fat claim. Let's get out there with that word of God. Don't have a baby on me now. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. 5:19. Oh, yeah. So it says there's this guy. Here he is. He was insane. He was living in the tombs. Jesus healed him. He was in his right mind. And then he's sitting there with Jesus, and he goes, you know, Jesus, I want to hang out with you. I want to follow you. And in verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. You know, that means he said no. But said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did what?
Marvel.
Same word that it's talked about when Jesus marveled. All these people marveled. In other words, this guy said, this is how I was, and Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. We each have a story to tell. And those people out there, they need to hear it. They need to hear something positive, not just some nice positive thing. You know, it's a beautiful day. Isn't that a nice flower? You know, okay, that's nice. But what does that do for somebody's life? How's about something from God's word? Something from God's word. How's about, you know, I was just healed last night? Or you know what? I just heard this verse and it got rid of my anxiety. How's about that kind of stuff for us to share with the world? He said, tell him what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8.
If I would tell anybody else that God told me to wear my seatbelt, yet, I was really nuts.
Yeah. That God works in us that way. What people need in the world is not to talk more about the problem. And it's really easy for us as believers to talk about this stuff, even to make fun of it. It's wasting some time, by the way. Let's just speak the word to each other, all right? Let's just rejoice in the things of the word. Let's just rejoice in the great things that God has done for us, the great things that blessed our heart today when we read God's word. So there's two things I'd like you to take away from this little sharing today. One is, let's speak the word to people of the great deliverance. This lady came in and she stole her healing from Jesus. And then she said in front of all of them, she said, I was healed. I was healed. As embarrassing as that was that she had the problem in the first place, that's what she said. Jesus said to that dude, tell everybody, go tell your friends, go tell everyone what great things the Lord hath done for you. The second thing is to pray. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. It was a really bad situation here. A believer was killed. And it says, at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. A great persecution. We have not seen this in our day and time. And these are United States. We are not persecuted. Somebody might say, oh, you're a Jesus person, you know, but whatever. We are not persecuted. But here was a great persecution. And it says, against the church that was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. It says they were scattered abroad. This word, scattered abroad, it doesn't mean that they ran for their lives. You know, when I think of scattered abroad, I think of like when you kick an ant hill and all the ants run all over the place. You know, that's not this scattered abroad. The word for scattered abroad here is a word that means to sow seed. It's a word for sowing seed. They didn't go running away, running for their lives. They specifically went out to sow seed. That's the way that this word is used. Isn't that something? Well, let's see what they did. It says, they went out in verse 2, and the devout men carried Stephen, that's the guy who was killed, to his burial and made great lamentation over him, as the culture expected. As for Saul, he committed them to prison. You know, he was going through making havoc of the church, entering into people's houses, and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. That's what he was doing. There was a great persecution in the church. What did the church do? Freak out?
No,
they did not. They went out and they specifically spoke God's word in different places. Verse 4, it says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad, that's that word, went everywhere complaining about how bad it was in Jerusalem.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, that's not what it says. And by the way, it doesn't even say that in the Greek. It says they went everywhere doing what?
Preaching the word.
The only thing that's going to help is not talking about the problems. Talking about the problems just helps to drive it deeper. So wallow in your own mire as long as you can take it, but get out of it quick, because we need the word to get rid of the problems in our lives. The word to cleanse us, the word to heal us. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and what did he do? He preached Christ to them. See, that's what we should do. In the midst of things that are bothering us, in the midst of things that are bothering the world, preach Christ to them. And look at what happened. Verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Well, we too can do the miracles. If we go out there with believing, speaking the word, we should expect signs and miracles to follow. Are we any worse than anybody else? Are they specialer than we are? Was Philip some super believer? Just a believer. Just like you and I are believers. We should expect it. For the unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were what?
Possessed.
That's what the Bible says. People that were even possessed with them. And many taken with palsies. There's that being paralyzed. And that were lame were healed. And the result was in the next verse. What does it say?
Great
joy was in that city. Great joy in that city. Last place I want to go is in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Great joy in that city. Great joy because here one dude went down to this town and he started preaching about Jesus Christ. He gave them God's word. Just like we do. We should just expect the same thing out of people, and it can grow and spread like wildfire as we give the deliverance. God did this for me. That'd be a nice thing to tell people, or just give them God's word. That's what he told these guys, and that's what they did. Acts chapter 12, situation here, a little bit later. Again, the church is being persecuted, and they had already taken Stephen, as we read about. He had died, a believer died. And now the government comes along and they take the guy who was the what they considered the head of church, Peter. They wanted to kill him too. The government, okay? You can't stop the government, you know? Well, here it is, a pretty bad situation, right? Well, look at verse 1. Now about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So we read about Stephen dying before. Here this guy James was killed, and now they want to kill Peter. Verse 3. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. That is a lot of soldiers to watch this one little dude. To keep him, intending after Easter to bring him out to the people. Because, you know, the culture, they'd be crazy if they tried to do something during the feast time. So they had to wait till the feast blew over, and then they could persecute this guy and kill him. That's what they were thinking. All right. So then it says, verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made of the church unceasingly for him. What does prayer do? Well, we're going to find out. Prayer did a lot. You know, in our senses world, how much can we really do? You know, this big, the fashionable disease, what do you call this thing that's out there now?
Pandemic.
But what is the thing?
Coronavirus.
Virus. This thing out there, you know, people don't know what to do about it. They have no idea what it is. It's this thing. And it's bigger than it even is. You know, even if you got the thing, so what? So what if you got it? Everybody's afraid of getting it. I want to tell you, so what if you got it? Can God heal you?
Yes.
Even if God didn't heal you, it's not so bad, you know, compared to a lot of other things that are out there.
Age category.
Right? You know, I don't want to talk about that thing out there, but what I do want to talk about is prayer. There's a fear out there of something, and it's insanity, and we all know it. Even people in the world are having all these time making fun of this stuff. but there's still fear. And we want to go to God by going to Him to help with prayer. We speak God's word and we pray. That's the actions that we as the church take to bad situations. And it is bad. It's bad. Not because that corona thing is so bad, because of the fear that's driving people away from everything, driving people into a bad place. That's the thing that's bad. You know the antidote for fear? Let's give them God's word so they can believe something. And let us not get caught up in it. Speak the word and pray. See what God can do. We read that one where He said if they'd come to Him, He'd heal their nation. Well, can He heal our nation? I do believe that He can. Not that I think we're Israel or anything. God forbid. We're not going to read the rest of this record, but I'm going to read you one more verse. I'll tell you what happened, and you can read it later if you want. Peter gets out. Quite miraculously, Peter gets out from those four quaternions of soldiers and all the other stuff that happened. And a couple things happened, and at the end of the chapter, look at verse 24. Verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God grew and multiplied. Terrible situations, terrible fears that people were facing. The church, God's people, went to God and they prayed and they believed. They spoke God's word, and what was the answer? What was the result? The word of God grew and multiplied. I want to see some joy around us again. I want to see some people that are happy talking about vegetables instead of the corona. You know, whatever. I'd rather them talk about God's word. But let's get there, okay? By going to God in prayer and by speaking His word. And if you don't even have a verse, just tell people what God did for you. It's a great way for us to show people how great our God is. And then I would like to be able to marvel like Jesus did, to marvel and say, look at what God's done here. All right? Thanks for your word, Father, your love, your care. Thank you for giving it to us so clearly in your word, how these guys, just people, walked with you and believed your word and what great things you did. And Father, thanks for putting it in your word that we could read it, that we can understand it, that we have examples to follow. Father, thank you for the deliverance that we need in our day and time. And we know this is nothing compared to some of the things that people have had to face in the past. But you are still that great God of deliverance, and you care about our every need, like you told us in the manifestations. Father, I just give to you this world. I ask you to help us to be there to speak your word to those who are willing to be humble, willing to listen. And Father, for your great deliverance, I just pray for each one of us here, Father, for your deliverance in our lives and for your wonderful word. I'm so very thankful, Father. Thanks for our giving and our abundant sharing. Thanks, Father, for your great word of deliverance. And thanks for that class that's going on right now in Spanish, Father, for blessing those believers. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.